You perhaps noticed that the carol we just sang was celebrating the light of the star and its guiding power. And we are aware that the service this morning is built around the theme of light. And the light of the star is the beginning of the celebration of the light, as we have lit three candles indicating the light that comes from God. And so the scripture is a continuation of our celebration of the light. I'll read from the Gospel according to John, beginning in chapter 1 in the very first verse. John celebrates the coming of the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. These are the days before Christmas. These are the days when people who dwell in darkness celebrate the coming of a great light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. This is what the Gospel according to John declares in the opening verses. Jesus is the light. And in the Bible, God's light, in whom there is no darkness at all. God is the light, and there is no darkness in God. The Bible, both Old and New Testaments, you'll notice, do not deny the existence of the darkness. They do not say there is no darkness. What they do say is that all is not darkness, but rather the light shines in the darkness. And Christ is the light of God, shining in the surrounding darkness. I'm inviting you to picture the surrounding darkness, even though the sun's shining. Now, our science tries to penetrate the darkness. We have had our science around for a long time trying to penetrate the darkness that surrounds us. And what does it find? But what it finds is light. The theory of creation of the Big Bang asserts that originally, at the very beginning, there was a great light. No sun, but great light in the moment of creation. In a moment of seconds. And what is it that God does create first? First of all, God creates light. Recall that God says in Genesis, "Let there be light," and there was light. God was present in the power of light at the very beginning. When Jesus appears, He is the light that enlightens everyone, everyone who walks in darkness. Over the time of our generations, there have been many who desired to be the true light and have claimed to be. Certainly, the eternal city of Rome and the Caesars wanted to make that claim back then. Since then and up until now, religions and theories and cults have made their claims. In our own time, ideologies have made their claims. Kingdoms of the past have made their claims. Countries have made their claims to be the light. And in our time, there have also been economic systems and political systems who claim to be the full truth, to be the holy light, and to be the self-correcting power that cannot fail. Even though they are human programs and of human origins, they make these claims. Not to fail. But they all do fail. And they all will. And then the darkness returns. Where is the way? Where is the light? And even more, is there really any light at all? One day, Peter, a disciple of Jesus, fell into a trance. And he had a vision of a sheet being let down from heaven. And the sheet was filled with birds and animals, reptiles, all kinds of things. And a voice called to him and said, "Peter, kill and eat." But Peter was a good Jew. He only ate kosher. So he replied, "I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And so the voice came again and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And then Peter got the message. He saw the light. The gospel of Jesus was not just intended for Jews, but for all people. No one was to be considered unclean, and none were to be considered common. Jesus had made this point earlier in his ministry with the story of the Good Samaritan, one of those favorite stories we have in Christian faith. And in that story, a lawyer asks Jesus, "What is required to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question, isn't it? What is the enduring life? What is it about? So Jesus told the story of a Good Samaritan. He made the point in that story that a man who had fallen among thieves and ended up in a ditch by the side of the road was ignored by the good people who happened to be the keepers and practitioners of the law, Jewish leadership. But he was cared for by a Samaritan man who came along, whom the Jews had no dealings with, who they regarded as common and unclean. This man, the Samaritan, however, turned out to be the good neighbor. And then Jesus said that this is the way to eternal life. And he advised the lawyer to do the same, and then he too would live. As we are celebrating the season now, perhaps you are asking, what is our way into the future now? Where is our star? Do we live today in our ever more confused and struggling world without a light? Or what light is it that will shine to guide us on our path into our future? Are we going to find our light in militarism? Or are we going to find it in nationalism? Or will we find it in law and rules? Will we find it in traditions, even the holy traditions of the past? My response to my own question is that the ancient Jews of Jesus' time had all these things, all of them, but they didn't prove to be their light. And so the Jewish nation descended into darkness. The early Christians made a clear affirmation. And they said, in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, male or female, Scythian, slave or free, but all are one in him. Christmas means God's light, God's love and grace, God's compassion and spirit are in the world for everyone. No matter what others may say, no matter what others may think, God's light is dawning for you and me each day because of Christmas. Now, there is no distinction. There is no category of class, or of race, or of sexuality, or even of creed. All these are transcended, and all are being transformed as we are being made new in the power of the light that makes the world and renews our life each day. Christmas is God's light to renew your hearts, minds, and spirit now. God's new creation. Christmas means we are in the dawning of God's new creation in us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your creation. In these times, we need your light, perhaps as never before. And in everyone's life, there comes a time when we pray for the light. And so today we pray for your light to dwell in the darkness of daily life and in the times of our own darkness. And we ask your blessing upon us now. In Jesus' name, in the name of light, we pray. Amen.